Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, the prank of the year. And savage it is, too.
On closer inspection, a delight becomes a fright for the phone company.
I'm really disappointed about the whole thing.
Now look at this. Look carefully.
K-E-L-E-C-O-M, telecom, and S-U-X, sex.
Oh, yes. Ain't nothing to work out. Ain't nothing to know. Ain't no way you can grow unless you let go.
Kia ora. Welcome to the first of our Prank of the Year bonus interviews. Today, we're bringing you an extended interview with Rata, who we heard from in Part 3, Front Page News, as we were continuing our hunt for a copy of the defaced Telecom Christmas card. Rata works with ephemera, the bits and pieces of printed content which, in their own words, are made to be disposed of. During our kōrero, Rata filled me in on why this largely disposable material has value, and why it's worth preserving. We spoke for quite a while about this stuff, and it was a really fascinating conversation. So without further ado, here's my kōrero with Rata.
Kia ora tātou, ko Rata tōku ingoa, he kaipupiri tuarua o. E mahi ana o ki Te Whare Puka Puka o Alexander Turnbull. So I'm Rata, and I'm an assistant curator at the Alexander Turnbull Library.
Tell me a little bit about your role there. What is the Alexander Turnbull Library? What do you do?
So the Alexander Turnbull Library is part of the National Library of New Zealand. My role is within the curatorial team. What we do is bring in collections. So we're bringing in heritage collections all the time, and that's either through donations, so things that people offer to the library, or by going out and proactively collecting from communities.
Just out of interest, tell me a little bit about some of the collections that you bring in. So what kind of stuff are you kind of collecting as part of your role?
Sure. So the kinds of things that we're collecting, it's very broad, and it's basically covered by the curatorial areas that we have. So just as kind of a brief run through, we collect manuscripts, so that's kind of people's personal papers. We collect photographs. We collect ephemera, obviously, which is what we're talking about today. We collect oral histories, rare books. What else do we collect? We've got an archive of New Zealand music, a cartoons and comics curatorial section. So it's really broad, and we're primarily focused on collecting unpublished material. So that is material that's not kind of out there in the public domain.
Right. That's a good distinction to make. And I assume then National Library kind of does more of that sort of collection and curation of more published stuff. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so the National Library is mainly collecting things that are published. So the National Library collects a lot of their material through legal deposit. So basically anything that's published in New Zealand legally has to come into the National Library to be preserved. So that's where they get most of their collections from, whereas the Turnbull Library's collections are mainly, like I said, through being offered by donors or by proactively going out and seeking material from communities. Quite a hard distinction to make.
No, it makes a lot of sense the way you've laid it out. Let's talk about ephemera for a second. What is it? What is ephemera?
It's a very good question. So ephemera, to me specifically, is something that is made to be disposed of or to deteriorate of its own doing. So obviously that's very broad, but in relation to the Alexander Turnbull Library collections, it mainly comprises minor printed items. So things like posters, flyers, menus, invitations, programs. But we do also have things that are a little bit more wacky, like badges. We've got promotional mouse pads, an unused pizza box, board games, promotional frisbees, and lots of telephone cards. Yeah, it's basically something that is printed and made to be used and then disposed of.
From, I guess, Turnbull's point of view, what's the value in kind of keeping that stuff or, you know, preserving that stuff? What value is there in doing that?
Sure. So we preserve ephemera in large part because most people don't. Like I said, ephemera is made to have a short life and it's usually thrown away at the end of that life. Whereas things like manuscripts and photographs are generally made to live on. But if you think about the ephemera from your own life, so things like train tickets, political flyers, programs from shows, that kind of thing, it's unlikely that you're holding on to that kind of thing unless you're someone who has a collecting mindset. So it really tells us a lot about how ordinary lives are lived, and how companies, politicians, and things like social causes might appeal to or kind of try and relate to the everyday person. So through that, it becomes a really useful record of social life, popular culture, local history, that kind of thing.
Fantastic. Just thinking about some of the items in your collection, are there any kind of, I guess, standout stories that you and your team have been able to sort of learn about, you know, our history or about a place in our timeline from ephemera? Any examples kind of sticking out?
There are so many examples. This is quite current, but a lot of the COVID-19 ephemera that we've collected over the last 3 years, which includes things like flyers and posters issued by the government, that's really interesting because it kind of tells the story as the situation has been developing. So, like I've said, with manuscripts and, well, not so much photographs, but things like manuscripts, you're really getting kind of a retrospective look at an event or a cause, but ephemera obviously is being produced as things happen. So with COVID-19, we collected a lot of memes that documented people's responses to the virus and the lockdowns, and then later we collected ephemera in the form of placards and posters from the protests at Parliament. And all of this ephemera was made and then disseminated as the events occurred rather than kind of reflecting back on them. So I think it provides a really nice look into what's happening as it happens. It's really responding at the moment of an event or a cause. And often the importance of an event might only be known after it happens. So we also have things like Air New Zealand promotional posters for the Antarctic flights from the 1970s. And that's something that connects contemporary audiences to the Mount Erebus disaster, for example. And when that was produced, obviously it wasn't anticipated that disaster would occur. So in that way, ephemera plays a really vital role in kind of the compilation of New Zealand history. And it effectively documents what might be considered the mundane or the everyday. But when it's carefully curated and when you can look back on it, it really speaks to the everyday fabric of society. It speaks to events, people, and relationships.
Fantastic. Those are terrific examples, and such an interesting kind of thing to consider.
Yeah, no, it's a really cool collection. I'm very privileged to work with it.
Just thinking about the ephemera collection more broadly, do you have a sense of, I guess, how much stuff in there comes from, I guess, different sources? For example, how much stuff in there is kind of government produced versus produced by, you know, the business sector or from just the public?
So it's a really, in that regard, it's a really broad collection. So a lot of the ephemera that is produced by government agencies, that will go to Archives New Zealand because that's within their mandate to collect more so than ours. Anything produced by the government directly becomes a public record. So a lot of that goes to Archives New Zealand. So, for example, they have things from the Health Board, the Tourism New Zealand posters, all of that kind of thing. So we at the Turnbull Library do end up getting a lot of the records that have come from companies or from individuals. So there's a really strong protest collection at the Turnbull of ephemera, because that kind of thing obviously is not produced by the government. It's more produced by individuals and groups. And we do also have a lot of ephemera that has been produced by companies. And usually that hasn't come from the companies themselves. It will come through people who have just kind of cobbled together a collection. So that's one of the things about ephemera that kind of makes it difficult to preserve, is that usually it's being donated by people who have a collecting mindset and just kind of go about their day or lives collecting things. So like I said, things like train tickets, things like phone cards, they will basically cobble that together into a collection and bring it to the library. So that's how a lot of our ephemera comes in. And as a result of that, we do end up getting quite a broad collection that will basically reflect that donor's interests, I suppose, or way of life. You know, a lot of people will just kind of donate the junk mail that they get in their mailbox. We no longer collect that kind of thing. We've become a lot more selective in what we actually accept into our collections. But yeah, you do get a really broad range. And kind of on the topic of what we're talking about, we do have things like Christmas cards from companies that were addressed to the Turnbull Library. So we've got Christmas cards from New Zealand Post, NZMS, which is New Zealand Micrographic Services, lots of other big companies, ACC. So yeah, it's really varied, and it comes through to the library through so many different avenues. So
Keen to pick up on some more of that Christmas card stuff, but
yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it makes sense that companies wouldn't necessarily think to archive that stuff or to,
yeah,
you know, try and save it for prosperity beyond yeah, what they're obligated to, yeah, do.
And a lot of companies do have their own archives as well, so usually their collections will kind of remain with them until those collections or the company itself reaches the end of its life cycle. So a lot of the collections that we get from companies come to us only when the company has dissolved for whatever reason. Yeah, but usually until that point, they stay with that company.
So there'd be stuff in your collection from all, I guess, periods of time. What are some of the earliest examples of ephemera that you've got in your collection?
That's a really good question. So our collections date back to, well, long before pre-colonisation in New Zealand. But the ephemera collection, I think by its kind of nature, tends to be a little bit more recent. Like I said, it's usually printed material, so it's really relying on kind of slightly more modern technologies to produce it and sustain it. But definitely we've got ephemera that dates from kind of the mid 1800s, wow, so around the time of colonization by Europeans in New Zealand. And a lot of that kind of thing is like shipping lists. And there's a lot of notices and that kind of thing. We've got flags. There's a lot of material in the ephemera collection relating to both of the world wars. So it really does date back quite far. But I'd say probably the bulk of the collection dates from the 20th century, 20th and 21st century. So it's, I suppose that's when kind of printing and like mass production was a lot more prevalent. So a lot of the collection is from then. And of course, that's when the library was kind of more actively collecting as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, given that the the stuff is largely throwaway stuff in its original form, what are some of the challenges of preserving that stuff that is, you know, wasn't necessarily designed to be preserved? What does your team do to try and preserve that kind of stuff?
So, yeah, ephemera can be quite difficult to preserve. By its very nature, it's made to be used and then thrown out. It's not really created with the intention to be kept forever. So a lot of the time, like I said, it comes from donors who have just cobbled together their own collection. So it can be in quite bad quality when it comes to us. Like it might have been used previously. And that makes it a challenge in terms of conservation and reuse. But I think one of the more pressing problems is that it's quite piecemeal. So rather than getting a big collection like we would with photographs or manuscripts, typically, it often comes to us as just one kind of lone item. So it really loses a lot of its wider context around maybe why it was made or how it was used. And typically at the library, we like to collect things, not in bulk, but we want to collect a robust collection that kind of has a story and doesn't act as a standalone item. So that can be quite difficult in terms of gaining context, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Particularly for archivists, that's a real shame, because as soon as something loses its context or its story, it kind of becomes somewhat meaningless. Obviously, ephemera, the great thing about it is that it's quite a digestible way of presenting information. So it's obviously packed with information that's presented in quite a digestible manner. It looks really fun a lot of the time because it's made to be eye-catching. So you do get a lot of content from it, but you're not necessarily getting the context that kind of builds a broader and more robust picture.
Let me go on a little bit of a tangent here, just along those lines. Do you have any examples that you can kind of pull to mind of something that's come into your collection and the context just isn't there, and everyone's just kind of scratching their head saying, what the heck does this mean? Like, is there anything like that that's going to come across your desk?
Yeah, all the time. We get so many collections where they are just completely devoid of their context and we can't figure it out. But the thing about the library and the way that we collect is we like to know the provenance or the custodial history of an item. And if a collection doesn't have that or it can't be proven, oftentimes that will deter us from collecting it. We basically need to be able to prove a collection's custodial history in order to bring it into the collection. So while things do slip through the cracks, and like often things are really interesting of their own accord, so we would still collect it even if it is missing that context. But yeah, a lot of the time we do end up with things that just kind of are lacking basically any information. But as archivists, it's not on us to build a story. And we basically just have to work with what we've got. Obviously, you do a bit of research to try and ascertain the story or a bit more about an item. But for the most part, we kind of leave a lot of that up to the researchers and we don't make guesses really.
Awesome. No, that's really interesting. Yeah. Let's get back to the Christmas card thing. Tell me about some of the, I guess, some of the notable or some of the more interesting sort of Christmas or seasonal-based stuff.
So I did run a couple of very brief searches on Christmas cards, and we have between 400 and 1,100 catalogued. So that's not including things that have not yet been catalogued, of which there are probably many. And that's also not including like Easter cards and that kind of thing. So there's a lot, basically. Yeah, we do have Christmas cards that were addressed to the Turnbull Library from companies like New Zealand Post, ACC, NZMS, and also in particular from other heritage institutions, obviously just kind of maintaining relationships. I did actually find a Christmas card from Telecom to the Turnbull Library dated 1993. But
Ooh.
it's not the Grey Dixon designs, unfortunately.
Oh.
So it was it's the design that won the Blenheim Marlborough Telecom Regional Art Award, not the Otago one.
Yeah, out of here.
And that one was by someone called Keith Hansen, and it seems to be like a I think like a liner cut or something. I searched high and low for the Grey Dixon card, but I could not find it. So either it's not catalogued somewhere or we don't have it. But I think since it won the Otago competition, my assumption is that we wouldn't have probably received it. The ephemera collection used to kind of typically collect Wellington region focused material, and I can't imagine Telecom would have sent the Otago. I mean, they already sent us the Blenheim Marlborough copy, so I assume they're not sending us the Otago one also. So I feel like if it's going to be anywhere, it would be the Hocken Library. But yeah, I saw it in the folder and got really excited and then quickly realised it was not the one.
Oh,
very sad.
No, it's not sad at all. I'm jumping up and down in my seat. One of the first things that we uncovered, just to give you some context, one of the very first things that we uncovered when we found our initial news article was that the Grey Dixon card wasn't the only one produced and that there were 19 other cards that year.
Oh, okay, a lot.
Yeah. Our initial assumption was that, you know, this one card, you know, was the only card that got sent out by Telecom that year. But really interesting to know that there were, that we're sort of slowly tracking down some others. This is great.
Yes. Yeah, I did my best detective work, but I mean, that's as close as I got, unfortunately.
No, honestly, that's closer than we've got as well. So, despite working on it for, I don't want to say how long. No, I really, really appreciate you digging into that for me. That's awesome.
Yeah, no worries.
Let's talk a little bit more about Telecom now. You know, you mentioned that, you know, you do have some Telecom related stuff. What kind of stuff is in the library from Telecom?
Sure. The things that we've got related to Telecom in our collection are quite interesting, and it mainly consists of cartoons. And the nature, I suppose, of cartoons is that they're usually quite critical in nature. So many of the items that I found relate to some of Telecom's kind of big business moves. For example, when they moved their call center to Manila in the Philippines, there's a lot of cartoons that are responding to that, and obviously not in a particularly positive manner, largely around the job losses that that created in New Zealand. And there's also a lot of cartoons responding to the $20 million campaign to change their name to Spark, which was in 2014. So again, quite critical of Telecom in that regard. I think that's just the nature of cartoons. And like I said, a lot of these big businesses aren't donating their archives to us. So the material that we do have about a company is usually kind of responding to it, which is what these cartoonists are doing. We do have a lot of telecom phone cards, and they date from about 1989 into the early 2000s, I suppose, when telephone cards stopped being produced. So we've got boxes and boxes of those, And they all have really interesting designs on them too. And I searched all of them to see if I could find the image, but I couldn't. But many do feature Spot the dog, which I was pleased to see because he featured heavily in my childhood.
Same
so that
here.
Was really cool. I think most of New Zealand remember Spot.
Did you, fondly. This will blow your mind. Did you know that Spot's actually an acronym?
But I can't remember what it's an acronym for.
Yeah, what is it? It's the Services and Products of Telecom, which is like...
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind of
hilarious. Lame. And the perfect dog name, but it just so happens to be an acronym. We do also have some records relating to the Telecom Regional Art Awards, but nothing from 1993. I think it's mainly later years, which is unfortunate, and I don't think there's anything particularly of note in there.
Let me ask you just one more thing, and this is the question that we're asking everybody. We know that this card, that this painting was defaced and it eventually got turned into a card. Part of this investigation is that we're trying to work out how and, I guess, why that might have happened. So, pure speculation here, if you were to put, you don't put money on it, but if you were to kind of guess or speculate as to what happened and how this happened, what would you kind of think? What would you say?
I love this question. I like to imagine it was an inside job. Obviously, we're approaching Christmas. Maybe there's kind of a disgruntled, slightly underpaid, stressed telecom employee on the floor who's received the painting and, made the decision right before it went out to be reproduced. So I like to imagine that it was an inside job and that it was a mad employee of Telecom. I really love that this happened. And I'm so pleased that it's being investigated because it's such an interesting story. And I think it's kind of quite an interesting wee act of vandalism because it's obviously gone massively under the radar. But I think that kind of inconspicuous nature of it makes it very fun and mysterious. And look, I love a bit of anti-capitalist anarchy. It's really great. I like to hope it was a mad telecom employee. That's my speculation.
Thanks again to Rata for their valuable insights into ephemera and its value in preserving our collective cultural heritage. You can visit the Alexander Turnbull Library Collections online at the National Library website, www.natlib.govt.nz. Join us in a few weeks for another Prank of the Year bonus interview. And check out our full series wherever you get podcasts. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a rating and a review on your podcast app. You can also join us on Facebook and Instagram, or get in touch with us by email at telecomsucks1993@gmail.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.